I do welcome you all to our service this morning. We trust the Lord's blessing will be upon us as we meet together in his name today in the house of the Lord. Could I remind you just of the baskets at the doors for the exits for your offerings as you leave, as the Lord has given to you. And then 6:20, 6:45, the pre-church prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs. And please remember that. We have relaxed the use of the lift, so you can use the lift if you need to for going up or coming down, as long as you maintain social distancing, of course, and hand sanitizing, all of those restrictions. But you can use the lift. I realize some people find it difficult. Stairs is a challenge, and maybe getting up and down, you want to come to the prayer meeting or want to get upstairs to sit, then you can use the lift from now on. Please keep that in mind. Family and Friends Night service tonight at 7. Special testimony from Derek Preston, a wonderful story of God's grace of recovery from cancer and coronavirus. Our sister and Naomi will be singing. Do remember that, please, tonight at 7 o'clock. Do invite others to come and come yourself again. Remember the time of prayer beforehand. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. is the prayer meeting and Bible study. The studies continue in the survey of the New Testament, coming to the end of this study this week, the book of Revelation. And so we trust you will join us for prayer, the study of God's word on this week, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Could I, on behalf of the Kirk session and the committee and congregation here, express our sympathy, a sincere Christian sympathy, to Dorothy McGahey and the loss of her husband, Jim. Jim passed on to be with Christ on Wednesday evening. The last months have been difficult for him in hospital and in a home in Cumber. We were able to see him just on Wednesday for the first because of all the restrictions, but I was able to get in on Wednesday to see him. And then he passed away on Wednesday evening. The funeral was private funeral, family funeral yesterday. But Dorothy wants to express her special thanks to the congregation here for all the kindnesses they've shown to her, the prayers for Jim during his illness and for her since his death. And so we ask you to continue to pray and to receive our sister's thanks for your kindnesses toward her. The days after and months after a death are always so difficult. Do keep in touch with Dorothy and remember her in your prayers, please. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship 11:30, and we're continuing in 1 Corinthians 13, Christ-like love. Doors open at 11 will be our communion service at the close of the morning service. You'll please remain in your seat if you're remaining for the communion, just in the seat you're sitting in for the service, and bring your own bread and wine. Receptacles are available for the wine if you please see our brother James at some stage today. If you've lost yours or misled it or haven't got one, do please avail of that. This service, of course, is for all that know and love the Lord as Savior. Then the prayer meeting prior to the evening service, then the gospel service. Great words of the gospel continued next Sunday night in the series on that theme. Whitfield College, retiring offerings at both services next Lord's Day. Do remember the work of our college as we move to our new program of building a new college at Tandragee, and of course the work of the college. Do pray for that work and give the retiring offering for that. There'll be separate baskets for that next Lord's Day. Please remember all the restrictions. You're now familiar with them in entering and exiting and while in the building. And do just keep in mind the lift can be used from now on. Friday the 28th of May, that's this Friday, is a memorial service for Reverend Wesley Graham. It's online from our Bangor church at 8 p.m. You're welcome to link into this service on the Facebook from Bangor and sermon audio under Bangor FPC. Do remember the family, Graham family, continually in your prayers. Monday the 31st of May at 8 p.m. there's a graveyard committee meeting for all involved in that committee. Let us bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence, O God, already this day. And we pray now, as we meet in your house, we pray that you'll draw near to us and touch us, refresh our souls, and bless us and build us up in our holy faith. As we meet together around thy word, as we sing thy praises, as we read thy word, as thy word is preached, grant us help, we pray, in Jesus' name. for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to the hymn. It's on the screen, number 39, a great hymn of William Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. We remain seated for singing, and then if you're able, you can stand for prayer, please. Loving, gracious, eternal Father, we humbly bow in thy presence this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the merits of the precious blood, we stand upon the ground of the finished work, the ground of redemption. And we rejoice that we can say in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We pray for thy presence with us this morning, that we might know that the Lord is here, that the Lord is near, that his presence is our abiding portion, that thou wilt be our strength, for thou art our song and thou art our salvation. We come to thee, O God, in humility and reverence, yet we come with boldness as thou hast exhorted us to do, before thy throne of grace, and we pray, O God, that thou wilt hear and that thou wilt answer, even in accordance with thy will, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us, that thou wilt come with that blessing and that fullness, that refreshing from heaven, that we may experience and know that God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. Come with thy blessing, Lord, in revival to our souls today and to the souls of thy people right across this world. Father, we come tonight, today, to remember, O God, the needs of thy people. Let us know those who are downhearted, those who have known sorrow. We especially remember our sister Dorothy today in the loss of her husband. We pray for comfort for Dorothy and remember her and that thou wilt sustain her in her time of need. Sustain Jim's sister and all of the family circle. And for those that know thee not, who heard thy word yesterday at the funeral, we pray that thou wilt apply the word spoken to their hearts. And even in the passing of a loved one, they may come to know His Savior and His Lord. We pray for others, O God, in the midst of sickness. We pray for healing for all such today, those who cannot be with us, who are recovering from sickness. Others, O God, who are in the midst of a situation, Lord, of sickness, or still shielding, or still feeling unable to come into the house of God. We pray that Thou wilt minister to every need, that Thou wilt meet each one at the point of their need. Comfort each heart this morning. Strengthen those that are weak. And Lord, uplift those who are downhearted. We pray for those, O God, today who are not saved. We pray that even in the midst of this situation we find ourselves in, that, O God, Thou wilt turn their hearts to think about eternal issues, to think about their souls, and to turn to Christ and to live. Answer prayer this morning. We pray for our churches that Thou wilt bless Thy servants as they minister Thy word. We pray for churches that are meeting soon in this incoming week to call a minister, that Thou wilt give guidance and wisdom to these churches, that the right man will be called. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt open doors that are meant to be open and close those that are meant to be closed. And we pray that Thou wilt glorify Thy name. Remember our land and our nation in all its need. We cry for this world in all its need, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of many to Thee. We pray for those in authority, Thou wilt guide them. Thou hast told us to pray for them, that they may be guided in the way of righteousness. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt answer prayer for all such today. Hear us as we call upon Thee. Meet with us. Bless our missionaries and the missionary cause across the world with all its present challenges. Lord, that Thou wilt bless our presbytery in all its work, that Thou wilt guide us and direct us in all decision making. Bless this church, Lord. Make it a light on this road and in this community, that many will be drawn to Christ through its witness. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of Noah and the ark, and what a magnificent structure this ark is, boys and girls. And you can see it, that's only a picture of it, but it was a magnificent boat, as we would call it this morning, this ark. And, of course, we have talked to you about how that the flood was going to come, and God called Noah into the ark. And, of course, two of every kind of animals and creeping things were put into the ark. And God shut the door of the ark, boys and girls. And those who were outside the ark, of course, were in great danger. And the flood came upon the earth. Up to that point, there hadn't been the sign of rain, but then the rain came, boys and girls, and so the flood came upon the earth. And the people, of course, were outside the ark, and they had no way in, boys and girls, no way in. The door was shut, the door of the ark. And boys and girls, it was going to be a terrible time. The rain came, and the flood came. It's known as the great flood that came upon the earth. What a judgment, boys and girls, for the sin of the people, because they had sinned against the Lord. And so it was a dark day for this world, boys and girls, a dark day for this world. You see, all of this rain, you think the rain's bad outside this morning? You think it's bad? You think it was bad on Thursday? We're all complaining about it. Complaining how cold it is on the 23rd of May. But look at this rain. Look at this flood. Look at what happened here, boys and girls. And the people were drowning in the midst of the flood. Why was this happening, boys and girls? Why was it happening? It was happening because the people had turned their backs upon God. The people had refused God's warnings. And God was bringing His judgment upon the world at that time, in Noah's time. Do you know, boys and girls, we've said it before, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's today, our generation, the day we're living in, this time. The judgment, it'll not be a flood, boys and girls, but God will bring His judgment upon men and women and boys and girls who reject Jesus, reject him, refuse to take him into their heart as their Savior. And so this judgment came. The only place of refuge was in the ark, and the ark speaks of Christ. And those who were in the ark were safe, and those that were outside the ark, they died. They were doomed. They were lost, boys and girls. This morning, thank God, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Put your trust in him this morning, and you will be saved from your sin. I trust you'll do that even this morning. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no delay. Come to the Savior just now. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, and it's rolled away. We'll just sing it through the once, but you do the actions as we sing it through and as it's played out. We'll keep our seats as we sing. This morning, we find it in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, reading together from this portion of God's holy word. 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 10 to the end of the chapter. First epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all of our hearts. We will sing again another hymn in your book. It's 454. It's on the screen. The Master has come, and he calls us to follow the track of the footprints he leaves on the way. Far over the mountain and through the deep hollow, the path leads us on to the mansions of day. The Master has called us, the children who fear him, who march neath Christ's banner, his own little band. We love him and seek him. We long to be near him and rest in the light of his beautiful land. Robert assures me it's a good hymn and it's a good tune. And we're going to sing it as we remain. Then we'll stand for prayer before we have the word. That's another new hymn, maybe in Ute, but I trust it'll be a blessing to hear these new hymns and to sing them unto the Lord. May the Lord bless that to our hearts. We'll stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I turn your attention again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And particularly today, verses 7 and the start of verse 8. Christ-like love is again the theme that we're on today. And I return you to this most challenging chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And to this most challenging subject of Christ-like love. And the characteristics of it that are set before us here, especially in verses 4 to 7, have we been looking at. And can I ask you again today, as I ask myself, can you put your name in here? Can Ballygowan FPC put its name in here? And that is the challenge to all of us, again in this service, as the Holy Spirit applies His word to our hearts. And what a challenge it is. And how searching is His word. It is a personal word. It is a pointed word. It is a penetrating word. And how it strikes home to our hearts again and again. As we go through the list here of this Christ-like love. Let's read it again. Verse 4. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. And so we have come down the list here. We have looked at 12 of these characteristics. There are three more that we want to come to today. And I think it's appropriate that we go to the start of verse 8 as well and include a 16th, which says, charity or love never faileth. I think this must be included too. First of all then, today, we are in verse 7. Believeth all things. Here we have love's faith. It is not that love is easily deceived. I do not think for a moment it means that at all, or that love is blind. Puppy love may be, but not the love of God. Rather, it means that love is not easily suspicious. It takes the kindest view of others in every circumstance, as long as it possibly can. Love will consider the motives and make every allowance for failure. And when a person has fallen, love will think about the battle that they have fought, the struggle that they have had before they went down. It does not mean for a single instance that love is gullible, that love blindly accepts everything it is told. Love is not to be taken in like that. However, love is always ready to believe the best and put as good a construction as it can on an action. In other words, it gives the benefit of the doubt. Love prefers to be generous
rather than to be censorious. Often, that which is what the person needs, to have someone trust them, to put some confidence in them, in their hour of great need, in their time of great difficulty. In the Oliver Twist story, which many of you may have read, you may remember Mr. Grimwig and Mr. Browning, or Mr. Brownlow. Mr. Brownlow had taken poor Oliver Twist into his home. He was willing to believe Oliver's story as to how he had fallen among thieves. Mr. Grimwig was skeptical and scornful. But a test was proposed. Oliver was summoned by Mr. Brownlow and sent off on an errand with some books to return to the local bookstore with a sizable sum in his pocket. Mr. Grimwig offered to eat his own head if Mr. Brownlow ever set his eyes on Oliver again. What happened, of course, takes up the rest of Charles Dickens' classic. The difference between these two men was that Mr. Brownlow was willing to put his belief in Oliver to the test. Mr. Grimwig remained cynical. And in the story, you will discover that Mr. Brownlow had to wait a very long time before he was proved right. The Lord Jesus Christ never misjudged anyone. Because he did not judge by outward appearance. The Lord knoweth all things and seeth all things. He had an amazing way of looking at an outcast and seeing in that person an infinite capacity for regeneration. You think of the man there at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 5, the Lord said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He asked this question of the worst case at the pool of Bethesda. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, became the friend, or he was the friend of sinners. May we have this Christ-like love. And men and women today, the Bible says this, the love of Christ constraineth us, believeth all things. And so we have love's faith. But then, secondly, we have hopeth all things, love's future. You see, love is optimistic. This agape love, this love of God, it refuses to acknowledge defeat. Hope is a word which we associate with the future. It hopes against hope. You see, it's a word that we would think of in terms of it forgives not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Matthew 18:22. You see, love entertains, this love entertains great expectations. But you know, we're often not overly fond of the word hope. We treat it as though it was a second-class word. If we ask someone if they're saved and they say, I hope so, we feel that's the most unsatisfactory answer. We feel they need just more than hope. But yet hope, in its own sphere, is a very strong word indeed. In fact, it is a strong word in its biblical context. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in Titus 2 and verse 13 as a blessed hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is what keeps us going, which enables us to rise above our circumstances, to face the future and to face death itself. We have something that the world does not have. We have something that the world cannot give. Something that this world cannot take away. We have hope. We have hope in Christ. And what a marvelous thing this is. The person who abandons hope soon succumbs. But my friends, hope is love's sister. It is born and bred in the believer by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And as it's linked with hope, then hope is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is the driving force behind hope. Love is of God and love hopes in God. And that was the great challenge of the psalmist. He was facing many fears within and he was facing many foes without. He said this in Psalm 42 and in verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Hope thou in God. And as each successive wave of depression threatened to overwhelm him, he kept on saying that. You'll find it again in Psalm 42, verse 11. You'll find it again in Psalm 43, verse 5. You see, his hope was in God. Poor William Cowper learned, in spite of his disability, to let love activate hope in his soul. He was in the depths of despair. He was shrouded by despondency. And yet, we have sung those words written by William Cowper this morning. And surely, to teach others to sing them when strong tides and stormy waves threaten our lives. Ye saints of God, fresh courage take. Those clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. When love is disappointed in the one whom it trusted, it will yet hope for better things. Although others may long since have ceased to do so, love never despairs of anybody. Of course, it doesn't try to persuade itself that in some instances the thief is honest and the criminal is innocent. But it knows that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ never gives up hope on anyone. When other people have given up hope for us, when we have become absolutely hopeless about ourselves, the Lord is never discouraged. Because he is love. His love is manifest. The Lord Jesus Christ is love. And I am glad today that I have a God like that. And when others give up hope on us, it is wonderful to know there's a God in heaven who goes on hoping and goes on planning for our good. I was thinking this week about the father of the prodigal. How many times did he stand in the porch of his house and look out and hope that his son would come home? His son who had disgraced him. His son who had wasted his living and riotous living. Wasted his substance with riotous living. And yet, that hope was realized. And one day, from a great way off, the Father saw him. Hope. And maybe today, there's a son or a daughter, children or grandchildren. And today, you're thinking, I've lost hope. My friend, today, hope thou in God. This love manifests itself in hope. The prodigal son came home. The prodigal son came to the Father's house. So can your son, your daughter, your children, your grandchildren, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband. God can do it. Hope thou in God. And so, we think about the words here, hopeth all things. But we think also about the words here, not only about love's future, but about love's fortitude. Endureth all things. Endureth all things. This love endureth all things. The word for endure here means to remain under the load. You see, love is strong. Love remains under the load no matter how long it takes. No matter what else is piled on top, love bears up courageously, no matter what the suffering. You see, my friends, love is the stuff of what true martyrs are made. This is the love that will not let us off, will not let us go, will not let us down. What marvelous love. This is the love that is stranger than death. This is the love that many waters cannot quench. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 to 7. This is perhaps the most wonderful thing of all. This love cannot be conquered. It bears. It believes. It hopes. And then it endures. What a climax. You see the build up here. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. In other words, when the person in whom we have trusted has let us down, love never gives in. It holds its ground in the day of defeat. It still endures. My friend, it was such love that brought Jesus from the glories of heaven to the cross of Calvary, where he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Hebrews 12:3. And here we have read this morning in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, folks, love is not just sitting down and bearing a load. Love is like a stout-hearted soldier who perseveres and conquers. George Matheson was a Scottish minister. He exhibited this characteristic. After he discovered he was blind, that his fiancée had deserted him, he prayed that God would help him endure blindness with holy joy and a song of praise. He wrote those words we've sung a few weeks there. In fact, I think last week and a week before that, O love that wilt not let me go. O love that wilt not let me go. Think of Joseph Scriven, who wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus. And all that he had to go through with the loss
on two occasions of girls he was to be married to. And yet he wrote those words, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Can you put your name in here? Have you got this agape love? Can this church put its name in here? Here's the picture, a wonderful portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you felt Him looking into your own heart these weeks. Some people have been saying that to me. "Mr. Smiley, God has been looking into my heart these weeks." I thank God for that, because God has been looking into my heart too. Has He been asking you about the reproduction of His love in your life? If you would learn to live like this, first you must receive that love into your heart. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and take Him as your Lord and Savior and yield to Him. Have you done that? Will you do that now, just where you are? You call upon the Lord for salvation. And how wonderful it is to know that Christ loved you so completely and so perfectly. Open your cold, dead heart to welcome Him in, and then go out to love others as He loved others. Jesus loved me. And so we can tell others He loves them too. It's not a question of admitting to a truth, but admitting God into your life. And He is the God of all truth. It's not being merely orthodox, but of becoming dynamic in the power of the love of the Lord Jesus. And there are people who are as orthodox as the day is long, but they don't exhibit this love. And we could be as reformed as the day is long in our thinking of biblical truth and yet not show this love. It's not trying to produce these qualities by self-improvement. It is submission to the Holy Spirit, who sheds abroad, as we've said already, the love of God in our hearts day by day. Did this passage find you out? Do these characteristics of this love find you out? Does it show your life to be a reverse of everything that Jesus is? If so, I can tell you that grace can triumph and make you just like Him as you yield yourself to Him. Look at these verses again, verses 4 to 7. Charity suffereth long, or love suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. May these characteristics be manifest in our lives. But as we conclude today, we cannot leave out the first words of verse 8. Charity, or love, never faileth. We must add this at the climax. Love's fidelity. Love's fidelity. You see, gifts fail. And at Corinth, they were already being abused. And Paul was addressing this, if you look at the context of 1 Corinthians, and especially the chapter before and the chapter after this. They've been given by God to build the church, but now they were being used to tear the church down. And most of the gifts Paul writes about to the Corinthians were soon to fail altogether. They're about to come to an end, but love would not come to an end. It would not fail. It would not fail. Love was lasting. It could not fail or fall. It could not be rendered obsolete. Love would never cease to be active. The Corinthians
had become so obsessed with the gifts, they had stopped loving one another. But Paul puts love back on the throne. Love is the one thing in the universe on which we can count. It's made out of the very stuff of eternity. It belongs to all ages. Time will feel, the created universe will feel, the sun and stars will feel, but love will never feel. And as we read these words today, what a magnificent description of love. What a wonderful description of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because every one of these characteristics is seen in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, and God is love, my friend. Love is bandied about today. Front pages of the tabloids, promoted in society. This is love. That is love. The other thing is love. But let me tell you this, God is love. That's what the Bible teaches. And these characteristics need to be seen in us. You can substitute Christ here for charity or love. What a Savior. In all of this, Paul wants us to be like Christ, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be like Him, our wonderful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. May this Christ-like love be seen in you and me today. May God write His word upon our hearts. We turn to another hymn and see on the screen, "There is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade or fall, but into the fold of the peace of God. He has gathered us all." And then after we sing, we'll keep seated for singing, but after we sing, we'll stand for the closing prayer.
Thank you.
prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word this morning. What a challenge it is to our hearts, how it searches us out. And, O God, how we're reminded of how often we fall far short of what Thou dost require of us. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to be more like Christ, to have more of His love, even this wonderful love of Jesus we've been singing about just now. Grant us Thy blessing that the Word of God will be written upon our hearts. The blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion, both now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.